rest of the story. I have on my desk a photograph. It's faded and brown. It's a picture of an airplane, a full-scale box-type glider, actually. There's nobody in the photo because the glider's builder was operating the camera. In fact, he was a boy of 14, and his name was Irwin. After a number of discouraging attempts, he and a friend had actually managed to get the plane off the ground. It was not a long flight. It was a significant one because, you see, the faded photograph taken in a field not far from Irwin's home is dated 1906. That would be the same year as the first powered airplane flight in Europe. That would be only 3 years after the Wright brothers made history at Kitty Hawk. Now, I'll tell you why else that photo was important. It represented Irwin's one true love, aeronautics. And only one thing stood between them, Irwin's father. And that brings us to the rest of the story. Irwin was frail and chronically ill as a child. In school, he was a dreamer. His teachers tried to inspire some forthrightness in the docile, amiable, slow-speaking child, but all in vain. This meant only one thing to his father. The boy needed a hitch in the army to straighten him out. With what little fight was in him, Irwin resisted. He liked mathematics, sort of. Maybe he could go on and study something like that, he said, but Irwin's father was adamant. He even wrote a letter to the recruiting office recommending his boy for military service. Irwin dutifully, if reluctantly, went down to volunteer. He was rejected. Dad told him to go back and at least apply for the Army Engineers. He did. He was rejected again. His father had heard that the 124th Infantry was accepting practically anybody, so Irwin volunteered, took the physical, and flunked. An inguinal hernia, they called it. It was about that time that Irwin remembered the photograph, the picture of the glider he'd built with his own hands. That's what he should have been doing all along, setting his sights on a career in aeronautical design. But once again, Irwin's father stepped in. If a hernia was the only thing keeping his son out of the 124th, then his father would arrange the necessary operation himself. And he did. And at long last, Irwin was accepted into the Army. He was 18. Irwin would never again aspire to build airplanes, although he often boasted in later years that his one shining success, a full-scale glider that actually flew, kept him inspired. Now, this is the Irwin you never knew. Nor had you met the gentle, sickly youngster who dreamed away his childhood. Instead, you knew him when he became a man. Because his father, a schoolmaster himself, would accept nothing less than the Army for his son. And once upon a nightmare, when the world went to war for a second time, Commander-in-Chief Adolf Hitler placed his hopes for victory in the hands of his most brilliant field marshal, a tank commander whose ingenuity and unpredictability made him a legend in the Afrika Korps. Of course, you remember the arch-adversary of Montgomery and Patton, the Desert Fox, Irwin, Rommel. Only now you know the rest of the story.